Psalm 11:3 states, "When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Well, now we all know that in the human realm, there is none righteous but Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. And His Word is our foundation for how we raise our kids and how we live our own lives. But for all intents and purposes, it is actually Jesus Christ Himself, the very Word of God, who is being attacked these days by our own government. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people, supposedly. A government now influenced by those holding the loudest microphones, and all in an attempt to destroy the influence of Christ in our hearts. Because without the Word of God, our government has no competition for preeminent authority in our lives, including what we teach and how we raise our kids. In light of the recent Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage and on health care for that matter, are we preparing ourselves and our kids to stand for Christ, to suffer for Him if need be? Or will we, like lemmings, follow the masses by blindly following the dictates of the justice's new clothes? We'll be talking about that today on License to Parent. Well, hello and welcome to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping teens in crisis and helping their families as well. Our host on License to Parent is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, like a lot of people, I gotta say, we saw this coming. Yeah. We're at a place now in American history where negative cultural influences are not just having an effect on our kids, they're becoming the law of the land.
It's like living a bad dream from the Old Testament, Rich. I feel like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, holding back the perverted masses from having their way with my family, my friends, but even more infuriating, my kids.
Absolutely.
Only I can't call the police on them because now they have the legal right to exercise some of their behaviors in public. You know, it's bad enough that, Hollywood, Madison Avenue, even occultists, pornographers, and others our founding fathers would have never endorsed. They already have the legal right to pipe their wares right past my front door through the same digital devices that I can get a good sermon on. At least Lot had his front door to hide behind.
Well, joining us today, fortunately, is someone who can help us sort out these challenges. At least we hope so. His name is Dr. Michael L. Brown. Dr. Brown is founder and president of Fire School of Ministry in Concord, North Carolina. He's also the director of the Coalition of Conscience and the host of the daily nationally syndicated radio talk show, The Line of Fire. He's also the host of the Jewish Outreach documentary TV series, Think It Through, which airs internationally on the INI network. Now, Dr. Brown became a believer in Jesus back in 1971. He describes himself then as a 16-year-old heroin-shooting, LSD-using Jewish rock drummer. Since then, he has preached throughout America and around the world, bringing a message of repentance, revival, reformation, and cultural revolution. Dr. Brown holds a PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University. He has served as a visiting or adjunct professor at a number of prestigious seminaries. He is also the author of 25 books. That includes Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, which has been translated now into more than 12 languages. His newest books include Can You Be Gay and Christian? Responding with Love and Truth to Questions About Homosexuality, and that came out in 2014. Michael and his wife Nancy, who by the way is also a Jewish believer in Jesus, have been married since 1976, and now the best qualifications for being on this program, they have two daughters and four grandchildren.
There you go. Dr. Brown, welcome to the License to Parent broadcast.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Before we begin, I just want to say that I see the term gay marriage, probably like you do, as every bit an oxymoron as the term tall midget or tiny giant. But for expedience sake, I'll use it just like I use the term civil war or cruel joke. So with that said, the Supreme Court recently ruled to allow gay marriage in all 50 states. How do you see this affecting Christian parents and their kids most?
Well, this is of massive import. It's part of a much, much larger issue we've been facing for many, many years. And it's really the critical moral, cultural test for the church in this generation, and especially challenging for the younger generation. This is something I never planned to get involved with. It's never been on my radar as a major focus until about 10, 11 years ago. when God started to burden me because of homosexual activism in the culture, and then at the same time began to burden me for the individuals. So I've been following the philosophy of reach out and resist the last decade plus. So reaching out to those who identify as gay or lesbian with compassion and resisting the agenda with courage. But there's a massive onslaught that is in direct conflict with our faith, with our principles. A redefining of marriage is this fundamental assault on society, as you can imagine. There's nothing more fundamental to human society than marriage and the meaning of marriage and gender distinctions within the culture. And yet this all comes under attack. This is no different than proclaiming Bruce Jenner to be a woman. This is no different from saying that you must affirm this. In other words, it's all part of a larger gay activist mindset. And it's going to affect us in many ways. This will now be taught in schools. You can't say, well, I don't like the fact that you've got same-sex parents in this textbook or that you're teaching my children about homosexual behavior in a sex ed class. No, that's just normal. It's quote, the law.
Yeah.
You are now officially codified as a bigot. I've gotten hate mail for many years. On internet now, every day on social media, we're very active there. We've got a large presence, so we have overwhelming support. But the ugliest, foulest, most despicable, vile things you can imagine pour in day and night on our sites, but they've increased massively since the Supreme Court decision. Sure. In other words, now you are legally codified as a bigot.
Yeah.
And for sure, there's already talk about losing tax exemptions and things like that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For the church as a whole, and then individuals, massive issue.
Didn't take things long to start sliding down that slippery slope. We knew that was going to happen. You know, I attend a lot of industry pertinent conferences for residential programs and mental health and whatnot. Most of those are secular. And I've attended some of these seminars on how to deal with the transgender and homosexual clients, as they would say. And it used to be they would talk about tolerance, and then they said, well, tolerance is a bit insulting. We need to accept. Mm-hmm. And in this recent one, I was in Baltimore. Now we're required to embrace them. And, I mean, there are a lot of gay lobbyists that have people in the mental health field, people in politics, people in the entertainment industry, people in the media and professional sports and broadcasting shaking in their shoes and not wanting to lose their jobs or reputations by saying or doing anything that might upset the gay community. So I see this really as much political as anything.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In other words, as one of my colleagues says, the law can do one of three things. It can prohibit something, it can permit something, and it can promote something. This is now the active promotion of, quote, gay marriage. This is not the active promotion of the complete, normal, fully acceptable, no different than heterosexual marriage, nature of gay unions.
Mm-hmm.
So someone blasted me the other day, just read the 14th Amendment, we have a right. So it's kind of in the air now that the Supreme Court has ruled that everyone knows this is the law of the land. So now you are officially no better than the KKK.
Yeah.
You are officially in the class of some neo-Nazi type group or something like that. So it gives further impetus. It gives further strength. And what we have to do is look at it just as if this is the Roe v. Wade moment,
mm-hmm.
that this is the moment to galvanize where we stand. I wrote an article thanking Justice Kennedy, obviously sarcastically, but thanking him for several things. One was for galvanizing the pro-marriage movement, because we've been warning people for years. We've been telling people this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, quotes from me or for other leaders for years back saying this is going to happen, and people wouldn't listen.
Yep.
Now they're listening.
Yep.
And someone says, well, what's the big deal? Again, once you fundamentally redefine marriage, once you fundamentally say there's really no difference between a mother and a father, once you fundamentally say really gender is completely fluid and on, you are tampering with the very foundations of humanity. And now kids from the earliest age, at times when they don't even understand sexuality, you know, a little seven-year-old boy, oh, girls, icky, icky. You know, you're going to be now talking to them about these things,
forced
and gender fluidity and on and on.
Yeah. And you mentioned gender fluidity in one of these seminars I was in. the instructor up there, probably a PhD, talking about we're doing away with the gender binaries. It's now gender fluidity. Isn't this just the logical outworking of postmodern thought that was really came into its own back in the 1960s?
Yeah, and probably dates back somewhat before that, but the 60s is the big shift.
Yeah, that was the steroid shot.
When you gave my intro, you know, the reason I was shooting heroin and using LSD was because I got into rock music in the 60s, and it was the culture of rebellion. It was the sexual revolution. Mm-hmm. You had positive things like civil rights going on, sure. But otherwise it was the birthing of radical feminism, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and the gay revolution. It all comes out of the same mindset. And basically, let's go all the way back to the beginning. The foundation of all foundations is that God exists.
Yeah.
That's the number one foundation.
That's our
number two foundation is he created everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the number three is that human beings are the pinnacle of his creation, and he created us male and female and calls us together in one. So you think of the assault in our culture. We have the rise of the new atheism, this angry attack on the Bible and on the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this militant attack on anyone that wants to question Darwinian evolution. To this day, despite all scientists, so many scientists questioning things, no, there's no room for God the Creator. And then certainly human beings being distinct, human beings being special, part of God's creation, and then gender distinctions and marriage as the foundation, it is a fundamental rejection of God and his ways.
Right.
And not only so, it's a fundamental rejection of reality.
Mm-hmm.
I've written about this as well, that those who were celebrating the, quote, Caitlyn Jenner thing, I said, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
I have compassion on people who struggle. I can't imagine what a family goes through when their three-year-old girl insists she's a boy. I mean, these are things where we need wisdom and we need understanding as to how to help these families and help these kids. But if reality is whatever I perceive it to be, then not only is Bruce Jenner a woman, then Rachel Dolezal is black. And not only so, the people who believe that they are what they have is called species dysphoria, that they're part wolf or part cat or part elephant, that they really are.
It's incredible.
You go down this ridiculous slippery slope, and what it is, yes, some people struggle with male or female identity, and now, as they've gotten older, they want to liberate everyone from, quote, the gender binary.
Mm-hmm.
But the gender binary is how God created us, and the gender binary is what makes the world go around.
Right.
It's that simple.
And I wanted to jump in here real quick. I've been trying to raise my hand. Trace won't recognize me across the studio here. But, in this rare case, I have an example of Hollywood getting it. And this may sound strange on this program because normally we're pointing out where Hollywood doesn't. There is a TV program that's relatively new with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, and it's called Grace and Frankie. And the premise of this program, and I'm not promoting the show, but the premise of the program is you've got these two families, two couples. The husbands were law partners for years and years. They call their wives together, and the wives think that the husbands are going to announce that they're retiring. They call them together to announce, no, that they are leaving their wives to marry one another. So the husbands are becoming a gay couple. And that's not the Hollywood getting it part. But in the course of conversation that followed in one of the episodes, the kids of these two families come together at the dad's new home. They wanted him to come over for dinner. And they couldn't sit still through this. The kids said, listen, if either of you, talking to the fathers, had run off with another woman, there would be blood on the floor. Mm-hmm. And yet we're together here and we're supposed to be celebrating this? To me, that's the whole thing that America needs to see. And it was actually put forth in this TV program, which I thought, well, for once, they're actually getting it.
Yeah,
I was just reading an article on BBC. They put out the story. These heroic men who, after decades of marriage, have now left the wives and are living with other men. And
let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you just a second. But it goes back to postmodern thought, because we've also redefined terms and deconstructed language as to what a hero actually is.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, a hero is anyone who's not holding a Bible.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
But in any case, many wives wrote in and others wrote in and said, wait a second, that's no hero. We were married 30 years. He left me. He left our kids to shack up with another man. He's not a hero.
Thank you.
Look at the devastation it's brought. And I talked to a guy. He said he was a committed Christian, married 37 years, and finally had to become a woman. And I said, what effect did it have on your wife and marriage? He said, it effectively rendered my wife a widow and destroyed our marriage of 37 years and has completely devastated her. I said, sir, you are called to lay down your life for your wife. You are called to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And he said it was either this or suicide. So on a fundamental level, it's all about me.
That's right.
Is how I feel, and this brings me fulfillment, as opposed to what is best in God's sight, what is God's intention for marriage. Mm-hmm. And look, the bottom line still is, I understand that a homosexual couple can adopt a child or have a child through artificial insemination or some other method of bringing a child into the world. But it still remains the reality that every child is the product of a male and a female.
That's right.
You can't get away from that. And that ideally, the best thing for that child is to be joined to the mother and father, whereas with same-sex, quote, marriage, you are guaranteeing, if you bring children into the equation, guaranteeing by choice that that child is either separated from mother or father, probably for life. How could that be God's plan, or from a natural perspective, what is best for marriage and family and society?
Well, it goes back to jacking with God's ecosystem, but to me, it's child abuse. And I don't know where the child abuse police are when these things are going on.
We're talking today with Dr. Michael Brown. You can find more about him either at lineoffireradio.com or askdrbrown.org. We'll be back with more conversation with our host Trace Embry and Dr. Michael Brown when License to Parent continues.
Being a teen in today's culture is tough. Being a parent of a troubled teen can be even tougher. If you feel like pulling your hair out, or worse, your family may be in crisis. Sometimes we make light of our family situations to help us deal with them, but that really doesn't fix the underlying problems. Shepherd's Hill Academy is here to help find the root of the problem, as well as healing and hope. But if residential care is not a fit for you, Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching can provide you with decades of experience from the front lines to help you overcome the challenges your family is facing. And best of all, we meet with you where you are with simple phone calls. Family Coaching is a dynamic partnership that helps you discern God's will and reach goals for your family that are biblical. Basically, live the life your family was designed for, and that's no joke. Information about Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching is available at licensedtoparent.org.
Hi, this is Ravi Zacharias. It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and License to Parent. I remember talking to somebody in the entertainment world once who said their entire target audience was an 18-year-old, and typically an 18-year-old male. They said the influence they wield in a culture around with their friends is enormous. So a ministry like this, to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot say how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit licensedtoparent.org.
And welcome back to License to Parent. Today we are talking with Dr. Michael Brown about some of the challenges we're facing with the acceptance of homosexual marriage, even the celebration of it at all costs. And those that pay the highest cost are the kids. Trace?
You know, Michael, I get this thing all the time. You know, well, Junior's going to commit suicide if you tell him that he can't be exercising his homosexual desires. Well, Doesn't that give an indication that there maybe he's a little emotionally challenged to begin with, if that's going to shake him up? I mean, do we do the same thing with bigamists? How about me? I'd like to have an affair. My carnal hormones say, hey, I want to go run around on my wife. I've been faithful to my wife for 35 years, the entire time we've been married. Could I use that excuse? Honey, I'm going to commit suicide if I don't have an affair on you. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Sure you can, but she'll kill you before you get to.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, obviously, you want to be compassionate, and you want to recognize, okay, somebody's struggling here.
Sure.
In other words, maybe they are that fragile, and there are these other issues going on, and we don't want to ignore them. So parents need to be really sensitive to this. They don't want to treat their kid in a harsh and insensitive way,
right,
and then have regret the rest of their lives. That being said, of course there are other issues going on. Of course, no one that is emotionally sound is going to say, hey, if I don't get my way, I'm going to kill myself.
Right.
When I read cases of say, a young man, he's tried to be celibate, he's 25, he's been trying to live a holy life for the Lord, he's homosexual, and he's not attracted to the opposite sex, so he understands he has to be celibate, and that's hard, and he's struggling, he doesn't feel God's gift him to do that, and boy, he has to be alone the rest of his life, and he basically tells God, either you give me a mate, I'm going to leave you. I mean, it's ultimately telling God, unless I can have sex and be intimate with someone, I won't serve you.
Right.
There's something fundamentally wrong there. I'm
Absolutely.
Not saying it's easy, but I'm saying God's grace is sufficient. And when you look at the larger issues, plenty of people get bullied, fat kids of different ethnicity, kids
sure.
that look and sound different, along with kids that seem different because of sexuality. Plenty of kids get bullied, but the vast majority don't go out and kill themselves.
Right.
Why? Because suicide means there are other issues. There's other mm-hmm. means for the depression and instability. And while we need to be understanding, and as parents, really reach out to our kids if they're struggling with gender identity
yeah.
or sexual orientation, especially in this culture, mm-hmm. which basically says this is the thing to do, and you come out and proud, and if you don't get accepted, then you kill yourself. And I mean, that's kind of what's being put out there.
No,
we really need to recognize the dangers our kids are facing while getting to the deep-rooted problem. If people say, well, what if they say they're going to commit suicide? I tell them the message of Jesus brings life. The message of Jesus brings salvation. The message of Jesus brings liberation.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to focus on.
Yeah. How can parents and churches do a better job of training themselves and their kids to hold their own in the public square on this issue?
Well, what we first need to do is get God's heart. We're not battling homosexual men and women. They're not our enemy. Yes, they're activists with an agenda that's really anti-Christian, anti-Scripture. But we want to have God's heart of love, the same heart that sent Jesus to the cross to die for everyone. Secondly, we need to get educated and informed. There are so many ministries that have been doing that for years. My book's A Queer Thing Happened to America, Can You Be Gay and Christian? A new one coming out in September, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Articles I write every week, my radio show. So many ministries getting the message out. Get educated.
Mm-hmm.
Get informed. Understand what's being taught. Understand what's being put forth through the media. It's essential that we understand. That's the second thing. And then we need to communicate with our kids. Let's not think that they're being untouched by this. If they're in a public school, they are. If they're in touch with anyone through social media, they are. If they're watching TV or going to the movies, they are. If they have friends from different perspectives, they are. We need to sit down and talk honestly. We need to reiterate God's ways. We need to reiterate what the Bible says. We need to reiterate if kids are struggling,
right,
that there's hope and wholeness in the Lord. We need to actively counter the false narrative, the false agenda, the misleading statements, the exaggerations, the lies. We need to counter that, and we need to get past the emotional stories,
right,
because we can
right.
have all of our facts, all of our information. All they need is, but Billy and Bobby, they're a nice couple.
Right.
They seem happy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get beyond that And then ultimately with our kids, help them to come to the perspective of, I only want what God wants. Mm-hmm. And there's not a single positive example of homosexual practice in the Bible, whereas every reference to homosexual practice in the Bible is categorically negative.
It wouldn't hurt to get up on the science behind it, too, because I'm astonished at the number of people who think that they're born this way, and there's no science to back that up.
Yeah. I'm curious about this. What we're facing in American culture right now is the rights of the minority trumping the rights of the masses, right, if you will. Is there a time, perhaps setting the homosexual agenda aside, is there a time when the rights of a minority group should trump the rights of the masses?
If the rights of the masses were based on sin, injustice, corruption, exploitation, then the just cause of the minority would be a right claim.
But we're back to absolutes again.
When the claim of the minority overturns the foundations of human society and is, mm-hmm, and is based on false science and an activist humanist agenda, of course not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely not. And it's time for people to wake up, yeah, to reality and stand up for what's right, not in a nasty way, but in with backbones of steel and hearts of compassion.
Dr. Brown, we are out of time, but as far as a closing thought goes, would there be one preeminent piece of advice that you might give parents listening to today's broadcast that would bring them some semblance of hope for raising a child, yeah, today?
Absolutely. Think multi-generationally. This is not just a short-term battle. It feels like everyone has drunk the Kool-Aid, but ultimately within gay activism are the seeds of self-destruction, and God's ways last from generation to generation. So build on the right foundation, and we will outlast the current social madness that we see around us.
Yeah, their survival of the fittest mentality will come back to prove itself true in a way.
Wow. Well, our guest today has been Dr. Michael Brown. Dr. Brown is the author of 25 books, including Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People. That book has been translated into more than 12 languages. He's also author of the highly acclaimed 5-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. And he's written several books on revival and Jesus Revolution. His newest books include the one that we've been talking about, at least in part today, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Responding with Love and Truth to Questions About Homosexuality. You'll find out more at askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Dr. Brown, it's been a treat to have you with us, and we hope you'll be with us again on a future License to Parent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this is License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping teens in crisis and ministering to their families. The work that we do here on a daily basis at Shepherd's Hill Academy and the broadcast that we produce for License to Parent would not be possible without your financial and prayerful support. If you would be interested in and able to become one of our ministry partners, we would be so grateful. You can make tax-deductible donations anytime on our website at licensedtoparent.org. When you go to the website, just click on the donate button in the upper right-hand portion of the page, and you can make secure donations at that time. Also, while you're on the website, please visit the Licensed to Parent store, where you can find some great parenting resources that can help equip you to be the type of parent God intends you to be. You can also find archives of past programs and hear our one-minute daily parenting feature called Licensed to Parent. Again, that's all at licensedtoparent.org. And on behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us again next time when once again you can renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.